Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of
it. You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this picture of Kyler Murray smiling mid-play in an NFL game because he knew that DeAndre Hopkins was open for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That is confidence and balls, man.
I mean, he's pretty good at playing quarterback. Why wouldn't he have confidence and balls? He turned down the guaranteed money of baseball where he was also going to be a star because he wanted to be a star quarterback.
But, Dan, this is an ear-to-ear grin, mid-throwing motion with a Seahawk rushing right down his face, okay? And he's laughing at him because he knows he's got a touchdown.
It is fun to watch those two quarterbacks play against each other. It's unfortunate that for whatever the reason is, there's no time in history I can really get you interested in a Seattle-Arizona game. The country. I can't get the country to be talking for any reason whatsoever about a Seattle-Arizona game. Why is that? Is it because Arizona's been bad and irrelevant for so long? Like, they had the Kurt Warner year, but is it because they've been not very relevant? Like, I can't – how can I summon anywhere on national television today a Kyler Murray conversation if I can't do it Sunday night beating Russell Wilson, who tends to win those games?
I mean, if you guys want to talk and give him the attention, being that you're the largest sports talk radio show.
Well, we just did. We just gave it.
Yeah, he smiled. I mean,
great. Dedicate more programming to a quarterback with a worse QBR than Baker Mayfield. Go for it.
Okay, well, he wants to talk about Baker Mayfield. At some point, I suspect we'll get to that.
We can't talk about Kyler Murray because we need to talk about DK Metcalf. Like, good God, that chase down.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like, did anyone wake up, like, in a sweat in the middle of the night imagining if that was you being chased down?
It's funny you should say that, Chris, because you and Billy had a little trouble getting your internet access. I'm pretty sure the local hour began with Stugat simply saying, DJ Metcalf has to have a giant penis, right? I'm pretty sure.
It's impossible for him not to. It'd be weird.
Fair.
No, I don't think it's fair. Again, I said he's moving too fast for anything. Like, not everything can be large about that dude, okay? Getting back to what we were talking about earlier, though, I was not joking as it regards the New York Jets. As I said, Rich Simini is reporting that the Jets in yesterday's second half had 4 total yards. It is the fewest yards the Jets have ever had in a half in any game over the last 40 years per Elias Sports. 4 yards and somehow still covered because Josh Allen the last 3 games has fallen back to, you know, a more reasonable pace than the one he was keeping over for the first 4 weeks of the season.
I was getting nervous there in the first half. The Jets had a lead. I think they had 2 leads in that game. I was nervous the Jets might actually pull that game out, and I didn't think they had it in them, but that was a big loss. We needed that one because the Texans lost again, and I am worried about them. There's certain teams I'm worried about, and at this point for the Jets, it's all about trying to get Trevor Lawrence. I mean, what else should it be?
I know this is the Big Sue and it's more national, but if I could just shift the discussion to the Dolphins fan perspective, I mean, it's setting up quite nicely for you with that Texans draft pick and the fact that, oh, Josh Allen falling back to the mean a little bit. Maybe he isn't the white Cam Newton that we thought. Maybe he's closer to Cam Newton now. And look, the division is wide open for them, and you're dropping Tua in the middle of an attainable division chase right now. It's super exciting in his first games against Aaron Donald.
That part is going to be hard to measure because the most dangerous thing in that sport that will neuter and short circuit any quarterback in the sport is pressure up the middle. And I don't know how it is that you keep Aaron Donald out of his face, but he is, you can make the argument that Tua is coming into the single worst scenario a rookie quarterback could come into, which is pressure up the middle from that guy.
With a bad offensive line. Yeah.
Yeah. And all we're doing is remembering the backpack from hell he gave Alex Smith, like his second play back in the game after it was a heartwarming story. And we're like, oh my God, please don't hurt him.
Yes, that's how that went. And so you guys are where with this, Chris, as he's going to have a bye week. And what Mike's saying is true. The Dolphins are 3-3. They're coming off of two wins that weren't close, which is rare for any Dolphin team to do recently, where they look really strong 2 weeks in a row and put games away easily, even though it was an injured San Francisco team. And the Jets are up and down, unholy in terms of stink. Now you go up against the Rams with Tua, and as we mentioned, we were having the conversation during the local hour as well, that Herbert might be better than Burrow. He certainly likes going down the field more than Burrow. He likes throwing the ball deep more than Burrow, and Mike says we're mathematically due for a bust in this draft. What do you do with that, Chris?
I get really nervous, and I see Justin Herbert yesterday, and I'm like, ooh, like this is just making like everything that's happening, the way they did it with Ryan Fitzpatrick playing well, Justin Herbert looking good, starting against Aaron Donald. It doesn't seem like a winning position.
They have to know something. Chris, they have to know something.
Right. And that's what I'm hoping. So like I'm just got my arms up, and like I don't even care if they lose. Like the record at the end of this season for the Dolphins doesn't matter. Like we just need to have flashes of Tua so we can be like, he's good. I don't care if we go 3-13. Like we just need him. Like, I don't know how you go 3-13 if he's looking good, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't care about the win loss record.
Right.
Oh, this is a bad time for me. I'm nervous.
You just want him to be good. I'll give you some hope here because I made a mistake earlier. I said the quarterback class of 83 only had two all-time greats. It had three, so it is possible. Jim Kelly was the third. Yes. You're okay.
Okay. Well, this is what I would say to you, though, and even though they haven't put their words on this because Brian Flores, who I believe you called David throughout a local hour here recently.
I did that. Yes, I did that. I have a friend named David Flores. Right.
I thought that's what it would be when we got to the bottom of what it was.
I was going to say he's nervous. He's just nervous. He's nervous. Right.
But Brian Flores in his comments about Tua didn't have very much to say. I don't think that he wants to raise expectations any more than where they already are. So he just said that he's ready to play. But if I were you, the reason that I would be encouraged, and this stuff doesn't happen all that often. One offseason, Jimmy Johnson had Jack Del Rio as his veteran middle linebacker. His plan was to go veteran middle linebacker with Jack Del Rio. This is an old-ass story. But Zach Thomas shows up and as a fifth-round pick, Zach Thomas shows up. And fairly immediately, he releases Jack Del Rio because he saw it. Now, there are people here whose jobs are invested in winning right now. Like, they're not doing what the Jets are doing. Brian Flores has done nothing since leave Belichick's side other than lose and have people tell us, well, this is a well-coached team. They're improving. But he inherited a mess, and all he's done is take a regional team and improve a regional team, but hasn't done anything in the way of real winning. A coach who hasn't done any real winning, who is coming off of two blowout victories with as much superstition and crud as there is in that sport, where guys are like, well, I'm just going to stick with a hot hand. Like, that's how Dak Prescott got that job over Tony Romo. Like,
I'm just
going to stick with the guy who is winning for me. The fact that they would go the other way on that and say, no, we don't think that we can win it this way. We think we could win it this way by putting in Tua, it should be very encouraging to you that they're seeing something that is breaking Ryan Fitzpatrick's heart, because he's sitting here, this is my team, I thought I was playing well.
He's never played a playoff game, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been in the league forever. The Dolphins know that. He's not a guy that's going to get you to the playoffs. He's a guy who's going to come in, give you two great starts and then two lousy starts, and the Dolphins are going for upside here. They have the quarterback, they drafted him, and they think he gives them a better chance of winning this division and getting to the playoffs. And if he doesn't, to Chris's point, you just want to see him play well.
I understand, but what I'm saying to you, Stugatz, is they probably already have. You say you just want to see him playing well. They don't make this decision unless they've already seen him playing well in a way that we haven't had access to.
I mean, very clearly, they think he's a better quarterback for this game. You say that he gives you two good games and two bad games, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're trying to avoid the two bad games. They're looking at the quarterbacks in practice, and they say Tua is the better chance for us to win this hugely important game now against the LA Rams.
That's what I'm saying. They just got two great games from Fitzpatrick. Occasionally, you'll get the third, okay? But after that, it's downhill. And then you get three lousy ones, and they're avoiding them.
Scott, I don't believe that that's advanced math you're doing.
It is.
I don't believe.
Go ahead. Game log Fitzpatrick and tell me the times he's put four consecutive great games together. It's never happened.
Stugatz, I'm not going to do that, okay?
I'll do it.
This is not a real stat. You saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick simply can't have four good games in a row is not a real stat.
You're going to see the Herbert stuff before you see the Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff. Like, that's where it's going to go if Tua looks bad in this first game. Like, people know Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think anybody is tricked into thinking that Ryan Fitzpatrick's the answer. You're going to see the Herbert stuff, and you're going to see it from me if Tua's not bad, because Herbert looks amazing.
You honestly have trade bait in Ryan Fitzpatrick. The NFL trade deadline is looming, and you have an entire division outside of maybe Philadelphia that could look to that quarterback and be like, hey, we can win this division if we bring in a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Would you want to do that, though, if you're the Dolphins? Because what if Tua gets hurt again? What if he's not good? You're still playing for a division?
I mean, you have all these draft picks. Can you imagine if you get something, if you get like a fifth for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Scott, you have to call the Cowboys.
Give you a fit.
Just fleece them.
You have to call the Cowboys and be like, do you guys want Fitzpatrick?
Maybe the Cowboys should call Colin Kaepernick. That'd be great.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That will never happen. Not in a million lifetimes across a million hells.
It's insane to me. I mean, obviously, there's so much merit to the Kaepernick discussion. For there to be a bidding war for Antonio Brown, whose last public moment was him throwing a not-so-concealed threat at a woman's children.
If you didn't see that, Stugatz, the thing that got him gone from New England was it seemed like a text threat, as Mike said, to a woman and her children. Weird, though, because his behavior was so erratic. I believe Antonio Brown's attorney was on that text thread. So it was a super strange thing, but it was pretty clearly a threat, and it's the last straw for New England. But Mike, how many different ways and how many different times over how many different years do you have to see football put aside character stuff in order to get better? The thing that made me marvel more about that is the idea that Aaron Rodgers asked for help and they drafted his replacement. Bruce Arians is one guy, Stugatz, the one guy who put his public voice on, I don't want Antonio Brown, period.
Yep.
I don't want that in my locker room, but because they're clearly playing win now, right now, for Tom Brady, I was stunned to see that that was the team, and it also got my attention in terms of like, holy shit, what are they going to have at the skill positions? They lose O.J. Howard, and they still got Brate and Gronk, and Godwin has been hurt at the beginning of the season, but Mike Evans isn't giving them anything yesterday, and they're getting 45 points anyway.
Dan, their leading wide receiver yesterday was a guy named Scotty Miller.
But that's the guy that that Tom Brady will develop a relationship with.
It's
that,
Chris Hogan.
That precise. I mean, no, it is not. It is more Welker. Wes Welker. It
Edelman.
It is Edelman. It is not Chris Hogan.
It's occasionally Troy Brown. I have to throw that out there. It's occasionally Troy Brown. They have a really good defense in Tampa too. In an era.
Well, they can get a rush with four.
Yeah, it's in an era where it's really difficult to have a good defense. They absolutely are in win now mode, and I don't know what it means to add. I guess Tom Brady's just like, I got him. I got control of him. This is a guy that was in my house, but you had him and you had control of him in New England, and he was allegedly or seemingly threatening the lives of children.
He has 18 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I told you guys.
It's weird. The Patriots are starting to look like the Bucks, and the Bucks are starting to look like the Patriots.
I think Brady won.
It's early, but the last couple of weeks have definitely gone Brady's favor and not Belichick's, if you're arguing talent versus system, or who created the talent or the system?
There's no doubt that secretly in his own mind, Bill Belichick has had a moment where he's like, maybe I didn't make the right call. But the real question is, has he admitted it to his girlfriend, his longtime girlfriend, who he loves dearly? Does he have enough in him to admit to her?
Well, the thing,
maybe I shouldn't have let Brady go, because he's not admitting it to anybody else.
The thing,
and I know he's. I just need to know if he admitted it to his wife or his girlfriend.
He's got the thing he would admit to her is, I really bleeped up at wide receiver. Because Tom Brady wouldn't look like that here.
Tom Brady had 24 touchdowns last year. He has 18 through 7 games this year with Mike Evans and Godwin and Scotty Miller and O.J. Howard and Gronkowski and Cameron Brate and Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. This is what he wanted. Plus, he has say over signing Antonio Brown, which Belichick would never give him.
That is all interesting that they are going for it, wholesale in a way that I don't know what Arians has said since, Stugatz, but again, he's the only guy. He wasn't quoted anonymously. He's the only guy who put his voice as an active coach, and everyone's sniffing around Antonio Brown. He's the only guy who said, I am not interested. He's a bad guy. I've coached him before. I've done that experience. No thanks.
Had him in my locker room. Don't want it again, because he did with the Steelers. I think he's playing this whole Brady's window thing, This is it. Brady's got a window, and we wanted him to come here, and he wants a certain guy. We got to go get him.
Or maybe he's just managing people. I've been tough on the quarterback. Maybe give him an occasional win. That's a difficult locker room to manage, and Tom Brady's actually one of the chief reasons why.
If they win, though, because I can't imagine Mike Evans is here for very much, two catches for 37 yards. And now Antonio Brown, we were talking about Mike Evans, right? If he could stay healthy, all of us were saying obvious number one receiver. And then Godwin comes and takes a bunch of his numbers. And now Antonio Brown is going to be running around out there.
Gronk's coming more online, and he already has this established chemistry that's like the second most prolific quarterback receiver touchdown combo.
But Mike, he's been hurt. Mike Evans has been a little bit nicked up and banged up.
So is Godwin.
And he's had plenty of those years with Jameis Winston, right? But they didn't amount.
He is primarily a downfield threat, and that's not Tom Brady's strength right now. But what's weird is he's getting the ball downfield to the likes of Scotty Miller.
Right.
He just doesn't look. Chemistry is a real deal. I've got no answers to why Baker Mayfield looks like a spectacular quarterback when he is targeting Rashad Higgins, but not when he's targeting Odell Beckham Jr.
He still has 6 touchdowns, Mike Evans. He had 8 last year. He had 8 the season before. He had 5 the year before that. He still has 6 touchdowns. He doesn't have the yardage, not even close, but he does have 6
touchdowns. Let's backtrack for a second, because we just did the thing that Mike is marveling at. We went immediately, instead of talking about the broader social issue of compromising your dignity, your integrity, your character by tying yourself to, can we get a couple of inches better? Can we get a couple of points better? I will sacrifice all of my principles, all of my morality, because if I don't, Seattle will beat me with him. And so we did the same thing that football does. We immediately went to, like, what's this going to look like? This is amazing. This is exciting. Somebody finally pulled the trigger on Antonio Brown. And it's always going to be that. Like, it's never not going to be that, except for Colin Kaepernick. Like, absorb that, okay?
At the most important position.
Absorb what happened during your lifetime. The history of it's going to resonate in a way that we'll be having this conversation about people many, many years from now, because the worst thing that you could do is kneel respectfully in front of a flag. You could do all sorts of things short of murder, right? Ray Carruth ended up leaving the sport because he was accused of murder. Anything short of murder and kneeling before a flag, you're going to play in that league.
Michael Vick played in that league again after going to prison.
What is going on here? They already suffered the hit. I know one team, if you're going to do it when there are no fans in the stadium. We heard all this talk over the summer with the murder of George Floyd. Remember, there were the stories out there. NFL teams are going to give Colin Kaepernick a look. It's a matter of time before he gets a job. And no one will go on the record specifically and tell us as to why. So it leaves for pretty obvious speculation that he's being blackballed.
Mike, it's obvious that it's a literal blackballing. That is not up for debate.
Was up for settlement.
He'd be the best quarterback in the NFC East right now.
Regardless, that all of which is interesting and all of which is fine. But the part that I'm interested in as it relates to what Mike is talking about, it is why they protect those quarterbacks so much, Stugatz. The advertisements for the Baker Mayfields. It's because people will notice all of this compromising of integrity that you're doing in a violent sport with violent men. If you don't have the wholesome images to pitch at quarterback, if you don't have these guys that you can have selling you insurance and pizza that seem relatable, Stugatz, I'm watching Ohio State this week, and I'm not kidding you. This is exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about Garrett Haskell and how it is that he had an incident recently that he has overcome. And then he said, the announcer did, he had been shot in the face. And the bullet went through both cheeks. Second down and 9. Like, that is what is...
Second down and 9.
That is what is winning in football. That is what's being mined in football. And the idea that at that position, the position they're protecting, that they would have the moral standard of you're not allowed to kneel in front of a flag in silent, peaceful protest, that is the damning indictment of you at that position.
Do whatever else you want. Just don't do
that. I want you to absorb all of that because it's bleeping crazy. Like, it's bleeping crazy that this happened during our lifetimes where you're like, that can't be it. It can't be what's spread all over the field is all sorts of morality compromising, but that's where the line gets drawn.
Jerry Jones is really going to have a primetime game where he's throwing out Ben DiNucci.
No.
He's
going to trade for Fitzpatrick.
It's the game's most impactful position. It's a position that Josh McCown still gets called every time he tries to retire. The poor guy can't coach a high school football team. We won't let him. He's going to be 45 freaking years old trying to coach a high school team.
Look at what
and every coach is
going
to be like, come, make an impact.
But how frustrating do you think McCown finds Tom Brady? He's like, think about, like, at that age. Honest to God, we don't have a precedent for somebody. We don't. Aging this way, Stugatz, in that sport. Like, there is literally no one in the history of the sport at that position who has aged like that.
Never, ever. And I don't think we'll ever see it again. And here's the funny thing. It feels like the 20th consecutive year. Yes, the young quarterbacks are great. They're exciting. I'm excited about them. I want to see Tua. It's still Brady, Rodgers, Breeze. It's still the three of them.
Well, maybe not so much Breeze anymore.
Yeah, but definitely Brady, Rodgers.
Yeah. You guys see Jim Barry's song about Tua?
No.
Oh, what are you kidding me? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. We got to gather ourselves right now and introduce. We have to introduce Mike Ryan. Hold on a second, because you're a troublemaker. You pretend like you don't want to go down this path, but I was on a text string recently where you texted to Carl Douglas, O.J. Simpson's attorney, his high school classmate, Jim Barry, doing a lounge act song.
Can we hit pause? If you ever discover time travel,
yeah,
go back to this moment. Go to like 7-year-old Mike and say, hey, you're going to be texting O.J. Simpson's attorney a YouTube video of Jim Barry lounge singing.
Yes, let's explain to the audience because they need to see this. This needs to be on our Twitter account. I don't think Stugatz has seen this.
I have not seen it. They went to school together?
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Stugatz.
All right. Wait, no. Hold on. Let me backtrack for a second because where you're headed with this is important. It's important information that we're about to give the national audience. Jim Barry came to Miami from Chicago, I believe, and he has been in this market doing sports anchoring a hell of a run, 30 years.
Hell of a marketing campaign. I know we've done this local hour before, back in the old days when it was live on 790 The Ticket. Now you can find us on The Joe. But there was a marketing campaign in which it was Jim Barry's here on Channel 4.
Well, he had Jim's jingle. He would rap like weekly on his sports broadcast. And then we discovered a YouTube video of him flat lounge singing. And it is majestic. Like, we have to... Roy, have you seen this? Have you seen Jim Barry? Is anyone on this Zoom call aware of Jim Barry's singing exploits as it relates to lounge singing?
I've heard about it. Yes, I did not see it.
I haven't heard about it. I haven't seen it. It makes sense, though. I can visualize
well,
it.
Hold on
it
a
seems
second.
Like he has the pipes for it.
Mike, would you do me a favor, please, and do this away from the microphone a little bit because we've got all sorts of music rights issues. But can you send it to Stugatz and yeah. so that I can just get some play-by-play from Stugatz as he watches it for the first time? I want him to try and watch it for the first time while also explaining to the audience in real time what it is that he's watching. Because... I don't, Billy, how would you explain, Jim Barry is the local, it's either him or Steve.
He's the man. Jim Barry's a legend down here in Miami. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Channel 4 sports anchors.
Who else is on that Mount Rushmore? Who else?
Oh, Kim Bocamper's on that Mount Rushmore.
Goldie's Goldie creeping in?
Goldie's on there and Mike Cugno. There you go.
Is Cambrell
Marshall.
How about Joe Rose?
I think Joe Rose was NBC.
Cambrell Marshall.
Yeah, NBC6.
Cambrell Marshall. Jesus Christ, Roy.
That was PLG on Jimmy Saffla.
And Frank Ford. Oh,
okay. Well,
Frank Ford,
Ford
was also yeah. PLG. Yeah, Will Manso climbing up that Mount Rushmore on WPLG Sports Anchors.
So would you like me to watch this video, Mike? I mean, I need to be off mic. You we can't hear it on mic. The air. Right.
You do need to be off mic, but what? Here, let's do it this way. First of all,
faintly hear it
just,
in the background.
No, do me a favor. Just turn down the volume. Just turn down the volume all the way. You don't need to hear the song. You just need to watch this video, and you need to describe to the audience just what he's wearing, just whatever it is, that, whatever details you want to give as it's happening.
Okay. He looks a lot younger. He looks great. He's got a, he's got a black suit on. He's got a white shirt. He's got a very nice tie. It's all done in black and white, sitting behind a white piano. Now he's sitting out on a dock. The keys are playing, but he's not playing the keys on the piano, which is odd. He is now leaning up against the wall, still has the suit on.
Well, I didn't think he was going to undress.
Now there's, what is going on here? He is sitting outside, very romantic spot, now back inside behind the piano. Again, he's not playing that piano, and now he is singing, dancing, and smiling with someone who clearly he loves. It might be his wife. It may not. I have no idea.
Right, but he's yes. clearly in love. He is reaching into the emotional well to go grab all the emotion he needs in order to sing this love song.
I got to tell you, he really gives off lounge singer, like he really does, and one that could really turn into a successful musician. I mean,
now back away from
I'm
the
surprised
microphone.
To the local sports here.
Now back away from the microphone, put the volume up a little bit and hold it to your ear, and then get back.
And
to
that, yeah, just come back in 30 seconds and tell us just what you think in general of the song. Billy, so you haven't seen this either. This is not something that you guys, I can't believe. So Mike is not only introducing this to Carl Douglas, he's introducing it to all of us.
God bless Stugatz, because we've done this like three times at least. We've even played his songs on air, I think.
Yeah, this has been a segment. Yeah, but I appreciate Stugatz being an amazing teammate.
He's doing a great job of selling it, though.
This is a new conversation for many in our audience, so keep going with it.
Or you could just quit and leave me hanging, like totally, to serve yourself.
It's all right. No, we're gonna get through this together because it's very new to Stugatz. It's got the short term memory of an elephant right now. So
we also have this new Tua song that nobody's heard yet that I could play. I feel like it's commercial free. I should wing it and then we could just maybe scratch it out on the backside.
So I was listening to some of the song. He sounds amazing. To me, I mean, am I wrong? He sounds, they were out by a fountain. I mean, there was a fountain. It looked like he was in Vegas, and his voice sounds pretty amazing.
To me, he sounds just like Jim Barry.
I remember when, Stugatz, we would go to Sports Bang, it would just be a rumor that he would have nights that he would invite people to come out and see him. And the whole sports department was trying to get the invite and wouldn't get the invite, but he would invite all the other departments, I think. And I don't know why that is.
Were they doing it to genuinely support him, do you know? Or did they just want to be there because they thought it would be funny?
It's kind of, I think, like, in Parks and Rec, how Ron Swanson was like this great saxophone player that everybody, like, he was like this god, Duke something. I don't remember. Duke Silver, I think, was his name, right? And he had like this whole career as like people knew him as just that. I think maybe that's what's going on with Jim Barry, where he has this other world where they just know him as Jim Barry, the singer at whatever bar it is that he sings at on Sunday nights.
But they don't watch local sports. They're not like, it's a bunch of people who go there and just on those nights, Jim Barry's performing, but they don't know his other career.
Now, this is just speculation,
but I'm assuming he must drive two counties over so that they don't get, you know, Channel 4. They get their own local sports stuff.
You don't want to run the risk, right, of people knowing who you are. And then, yeah, I think those people are going there not for Jim Berry. They're going there for Two Wrongs Make a Right. I mean, that's his classic hit, and he sounds great singing it. He does.
That's one of the things, honestly, like, if you think about it, and this is going to take a strange turn, but, like, back in the Wild West days, right, it was very easy to live multiple lives because you'd just get on your horse and you'd go over like two towns and no one would know who the hell you were, right? And you could be like this bandit or whatever. You could have like 30 families. No one would know the difference because there was only like a couple people apparently would just hop on their horses and go town to town, right? You could just live totally different lives and be one person here and one a blacksmith over here and a ladies' man over whatever, right? But now you can't really do that, and you have cell phones, and you have all this stuff, and everybody can watch everything on the internet. So the good old days where Jim Berry could go from saloon to saloon on a horseback, those days are long gone now.
It was
now
an easier time. You know,
secrets out. He's singing about Tua, apparently, on the local news.
Yep. Billy, I feel like you should tell Greg Cody to do a Back in My Day that begins, Secret Families. Like, I think you should absolutely tell Cody to long for the day when a guy could anonymously live several lives because no one had cell phones.
I would have dominated that time. I would have gone town to town just with Billy, the amount of money I would have raked in during that time.
You'd be the classic snake oil salesman.
I wonder who's handling Jim Berry, the musical artist, because you can find Jim Berry on Apple Music, for example. I just pulled him up, but the album cover makes me think that he's the one uploading it just because the image is so stretched. You could tell it was from a much smaller thumbnail, and they stretched it out to make it look like an album cover, and it's bizarre.
I hate those. When it's a specific, like, it needs to be a very specific dimension or it doesn't work. Like, we had to do that. I don't know if you guys ran into this issue this year. You had to do that for, like, the Super Bowl credentials to go to, like, media, like, row or whatever, right? And it was so specific where I was going and I had to submit the same photo 8,000 times because I just tried to, like, cut it a little bit and it has to be like a JPEG 9:10 by 30, 40, whatever. I don't know all those numbers and all that stuff. And I had to redo it 1,000 times. So I'd imagine that Apple Music is the same way for Jim. And he's just like in Microsoft Paint or whatever, just kind of stretching it out, trying to make it a little bit bigger every time so that it fits. And then you get it all pixelated. And it's like, well, what do I do? And it's like, don't look at the big picture. Just look at the little thumbnail of it and you'll be just fine. I'm with Jim on this.
I'm going to roll the dice here.
With the fifth pick in the 2020 NFL Draft.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins select
Tua, 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 what you gonna do? Tua, 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 what you gonna do? Tua, 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 what you gonna do? Please, you got to come through.
Wow, the smile on Billy's face right now. The smile on Billy's face right now.
The audio was cut off, but I believe the end of it is what you gonna do? You gotta come through.
Wow. Was he playing the ukulele himself too?
No. He was like kind of just feeling the music, dancing with his hands.
That's what he does. I mean, none of the instruments that he has, he doesn't play any of them. I mean,
dancing with his hands.
What he does in Two Wrongs Make a Right. He's not playing the piano. He's just dancing around with his hands.
He's moving his shoulders a little bit to get the illusion. But then there's another B-roll cut in which the piano is playing itself.
It's totally playing itself.
His house is haunted.
It's the central nature of the dance with his hands that makes the piano play itself. Billy, do you think that we should have him headline a Moss event back when we can do those? When we can do those again, we've got to ask him to come and perform, don't we?
Yeah. What's his relationship with this show?
I've always had a good relationship with Jim Berry.
I don't know, but there was one time in the 90s where they just opened the All-Star Cafe in South Beach, and he was wearing one of those colorful leather jackets, and he was there seemingly on a date, and I waved to him, and he waved back. I'm like, holy shit, he's famous.
I mean, Billy, when we were there on a weekly basis, he's one of those guys where he would walk into the CBS station and everyone would, it was like a parting of the seas, right?
I mean, he was a star. He harkens back a different time in the star sports anchor.
He commands a room.
I say this having no idea if it's true. He seems like a guy that wears sunglasses inside.
He does.
Because he's Jim Berry.
He does. Yeah.
Well, isn't he wearing sunglasses in the video you just saw? He's not wearing sunglasses.
He is Duke Silver.
Yeah. A Hawaiian shirt too, right?
Well, because of Tua. Now, see, he brings it all together. He really cares about his what he projects as an artist.
Are you afraid that we're going to get sued for playing that?
Sued.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.